with me then, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 23. This is not easy to be understood. I don't have all near the understanding that I need to have concerning this one particular chapter alone. There's so many things in it I have questions about and very little answers as of yet, but I know God will, in time when you see fit, give us some understanding. Now, also my mind was turned to the book of Ezekiel 26-27, over in chapter 26-27, if you want to a little bit, in a few minutes we maybe look over and talk about that. And the Tyre or Tyrus is the self same place. Tyre and Zidon or Sidon is two towns or little cities that are still in existence today on the Mediterranean Sea on the borders. And of course that was up in Phoenicia back in during those times, and then in Lebanon, King of Tyre was a great friend of Huram. Hiram was a good friend of David and, of course, of Solomon. He sent down the thing where they could build the house of God. So these were Tyre. This was a coastal, seacoast town, a city, of which Nebuchadnezzar himself also had captured and brought down the north and destroyed and devoured it, as well as other cities there around about in the time of the Babylonian kingdom. And I'm sure in times after that, that they were conquered, just like Israel was during the kingdoms that came after them, after the fall of Babylon and meeting the Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans. All these control all those lands. You can look it on a Bible, a biblical map, and find out that these domains of these kingdoms, great kingdoms, they are vast kingdoms. They stretch out over all that portion of what was civilized during that time. Many, many areas that reached out. It tells us in the Bible about where some of them stretched out, how big they were. And you can look in there and find out that this was conquered and brought under their domain as well. Later on, I'm sure they were in subjection to all these authorities and powers as well as Israel was, they themselves. Although Israel themselves, back during the time they called the time of the Maccabees or the Dark Ages, it's the Dark Ages because it's not biblical, but it's history. And it did happen and transpire. They had certain people there that were called the Maccabees, and they led Israel in revolts and tried to run out the people who tried to infiltrate their land and take over. Had quite a bit of battle that went on with them during those times. You can also look and study about that in history. When you look in there, look in history, and you can see about that. But I want you to do in chapter 23, and in the burden Tyre. I want to make a comparison over also. I know that in Ezekiel, I want to bring a little something to remember. I'd read it, but it hadn't stood out to me like that it did when I read about Tyrus over in Ezekiel 26 and 27. We'll read about that, talk about that maybe in just a few moments and relate to that. The burden of Tyre, how you ship to Tarsus. And we told you, we believe that Tarsus, of course, is modern-day Spain. Spania was one time called Hispaniola, or Hispania, I believe. Anyhow, I forgot exactly the correct pronunciation. But you can look, if you will, I want to go over to Genesis chapter number 10, if you would, please. Genesis 10, if you look over there with me, I'd like to use that. And it's also in Chronicles, but the reason that it's come to my mind to use this scripture is because it makes a statement. And I want you to see this statement that it makes so you can have some understanding about it when it deals with isles or islands or nations around the Mediterranean Sea. You look in verse 5 of chapter 10. By these were the isles of the Gentiles dividing their language in the land. Everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Now, in here, this is the son of Japheth. You can see about he was, of course, what the first one to make mention of. You look at his descendants there, you'll see that this was, of course, the modern-day Europe. You can look in and find out in this and see. You can see that the son of Japheth, he had, I believe, seven sons, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. You can look in and see that who these particular ones were. You can see the sons of Gomer and see where they were. Togomar, we believe that the Gomer and these different ones are settlers. And of course, Magog and these different ones are Russia. Magog, Meshach, the prince of Meshach and Tubal. That's what makes mention of coming out of the north quarter of Ezekiel, coming down to Israel, thanks to get a prey. The sons of Javan is the one I want you to look at. Elisha, and Tarshish, and Chittim. I believe it's Chittim, it's Chittim. And Dodanim. Now, if it's be so, and I believe that it was, we find that Tarshish, and you can see where that they spread out, they themselves, these sons of Japheth, in biblical maps, and you'll find that Tarshish, of course, was one that spread out the furthest toward the west, that is Europe. Now, if you look on the back biblical map, also you can find out in there, if you look about the Mediterranean Sea, you can see the furthest point going back west toward the Atlantic Ocean is Spain, before you go out in the old. Can you come back this way? You'll find France. You'll find Rome. You'll find Greece. And you'll find Turkey, the modern day Turkey, there. And then you'll find, of course, over into the land of Israel. And down below that, you'll find Africa, all Africa. There's a lot of nations that make up Africa. And there's a lot of them in there. Of course, Egypt's part of the northern Africa. So is Ethiopia and those other countries down through there. So that's what borders the season. And you'll find that, as it makes mention now, as far as Africa is concerned, as far as the land of Canaan, the Canaanites, and all those different areas down through there, Philistines and all those were descendants of Ham. That's very plain. It tells you that in the scripture. You can read over there and find about that in some of the Psalms. It also makes mention of the land of Ham being Egypt. It talks about that over there, so it verifies and tells us through scripture who that was. And then, further a little bit over going toward the east, you find out that those that were sons of Shem, we talked about that before, it tells about who they were. It traces Shem down through there to Abraham, his lineage. And he was the land of Ur, the Chaldees, or the Chaldeans. You can see over in that area, and up through there at Persia, and all those different ones were all these the same descendants out of Shem himself. So you can look at it, but the reason I want you to turn over, and it's in Chronicles as well, but it does make mention of this in Chronicles, if it does here in the book of Genesis. Now, Moses was the meekest man upon all faith the earth, and God used him to write his first five books of the Bible. The Bible said he was very well learned in all the ways of the Egyptian. He had the greatest of schooling that was to be offered. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. God suffered him to be so they might raise him up as a conqueror. But he educated him in the house of Pharaoh itself. And so there he was. He got a great education from there and a great understanding. Of course, God added what he'd learned from mankind. He gave him great wisdom and understanding because of his meekness God revealed unto him. And through time and word of mouth and history, probably inscribing and writing down things that transpired and taken place, he had great knowledge about what took place from creation all the way down to his particular period of time. He penned that down the book of the beginning, that's the book of Genesis, and Exodus means when they exited out of Egypt, and it tells about how that he himself was come to be chosen to be a leader, and he fulfilled his course in the wilderness. Of course, God buried him and took in Joshua into the promised land. From there, you see that they fought and warred and labored, conquered and subdued, but didn't go in and take all the land because of their great sin. Because we find the book of the Judges, God had to deal with them about their fault and their sins, and had to suffer the enemies, the adversary there round about there to come upon them to get their attention, and so on and so forth. You find out during the history of the Jewish people about some other things we'll talk about later. But in this, I want to go back to what we're talking about in here. You'll see it said that by this were all the isles of the Gentiles. Now you can find as we read over in here in these scriptures, you find he speaks about the isles, isles being islands or nations, a different nation. They're compassed there around about the islands or isles there around about, of course, the Mediterranean Sea. And if you look at that, if you will, we'll talk about that a little bit further over, even in this chapter 23, verse number 2. The burden of Tyre, how ye ship to Tarshish. As I said, Tarshish, I believe, pertains to Spain. And you can see about that, and if you look at some biblical maps about it, Jonah went to Tarshish and paid the fare thereof. He's trying to get the furthest away that he could. The ships, a lot of these ships were built and manufactured in Tarshish. They produced a lot of ships, you know, that it was Spanish people from Spain that financed the exploration over here in the Americas. They had the great navy, great ships, different ones did. And of course, others, England at that time, all of the rest of them did too, the big major countries did at that time. But Spain did. These were the ships of Tarshish, you know, that they had these ships that talked about that Solomon had, and of course that he had went into agreement and said with them, that David did as well, these ships of Tarshish, and they sailed on them, and of course they thought about joining up with some adversaries, and God was displeased with it, and he destroyed all their ships. But it's got a lot to say about Tarshish. You'll be surprised how many times it makes mention of Tarshish here, and a lot of the prophets and the rest of the portion of the Bible. I want everybody waking up, if you will, please, and try to listen to me this morning. Pay attention to what's being said. The burden of Tyre, how ye ship to Tarshish, for is laid waste. He's talking about Tyre being laid waste. They were merchants, mariners, who came there and, of course, made money and made their living off this particular place, this coastal town, the city of Tyre. It was a great merchant city, evidently. He said, well, you had a how because you ship to Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no in and in from the land of Chittim. And Chittim, if you'll notice, you look back over there in that, you'll find out that Chittim or Chittim was also one of the sons of Javan. So I figure he must have settled close. Now, Burnham McGee, he believes that Chittim, of course, when he talks about in Daniel, when the ships of Chittim come and grieved the Antichrist there. When he's going to go back, of course, made the covenant, breaks the covenant, he gets grieved about him coming. He said he believed that's Rome. Well, that's a possibility. It could be Rome, but Chittim between Rome and Spain is France. And, of course, I don't know that it might not be. They might have settled in the self-same place. That's a good thought. I don't know. I'm trying to throw out some things. It's in here. I believe it's in here. It's just a matter of God revealing about Chittim. And whether it's Chittim or Kittim be the self-same place as is, you'll find out that Tyre, if Tyrus is the self-same place as well as Sidon, and Zidon is just pronounced a little bit, pronunciation is a little bit different. It's the self-same city because they both are close to one another. If you look on the biblical map, you'll find out if he deals with not only Tyre or Tyrus, but also Zidon or Sidon. But he said now Chittim is revealed to them, even from the land of Chittim, they know about it. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, that is isles, these different islands or nations, thou whom the merchants of Sidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great water, the sea of Sahar, the harbor of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Said all these get their revenue, that they have a great deal to do with this city. They trade and merchant men, and all them see these people here of the sea that come in the isles, come and trade with this city. Be thou ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, even the strength of sea. Then I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. And of course, he's speaking about some things there, and that was went from my mind. I'll not comment about that maybe a little later. At a report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. All these are going to be disturbed at the report that's going to be given of glimpse upon Tyre in judgment. Tyre was, of course, dealt with. We know that's Nebuchadnezzar. Others, too, I said, conquered and subdued. So we do know by Bible history, God's word, that Nebuchadnezzar came and he laid siege on it. Ezekiel talks about that when it took place. Because they made joke about Israel, or Jerusalem, the walls being torn down. If you look in there, it happened. You run back around a little reference in there, and Ezekiel tells you about it. When it came to pass, it was in the 11th year. Let's turn over real quick, like, so you can know what I'm saying. Look in Ezekiel. If you would, I think it's chapter number 26 or 20. Let's see if you look at chapter 26, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe chapter 26. Go there with me real quick, like. 26, chapter number 26. You see, makes mention of the 11th year in the first day of the month. Well, now, it was subdued by Nebuchadnezzar. That is, Jerusalem was in the 9th year. And, of course, he besieged it, laid fortified round about it, beat it down with battered rams and everything else to try to devour and destroy and conquer them, and laid siege. He compassed it all there round about and held them up till he dried up the city with water and bread. And, of course, they finally were broken up. And that was in the 11th year. The fifth day of that month. But you'll see that he begins when they evidently some of the walls that had already battered them and some of the fortification of the city there had been broken down. And Tyrus was gloating over it. So God said something to say through Ezekiel concerning the city of Tyrus here about them and what they had spoke out against Jerusalem. He talked about them, and of course, this city coming and all they themselves, how God would deal with them. In verse 7, he talks about how that the Lord God, behold, I bring upon Tyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, from all the horses and chariots, and all his company, people, all his men of war. Now they'll lay siege, and of course, lay it to naught and bring it down just like the top of rock, just slick and ball, and bring it down to nothing. And that happened. That took place, and of course, under Nebuchadnezzar. He conquered that land. Also, he conquered, as we said, if you'll notice, and he comes and gives the testimony concerning this city here, Tyrus, this little land of Tyrus, the city of Tyrus here. And he talks about it in the 11th year when the word of God came to him concerning judgment upon them, bringing Nebuchadnezzar upon this particular city. You'll see, look over in that if you would please, and you'll see a little bit further over when you read it. These are important as you read it. Now 26, 27, and 28 is dealing with the prince of Tyrus, the king of Tyrus, and Tyrus, the city itself. I want to talk about that, God being a helper. I believe that's an illustration of mystic Babylon, because it's very clear now that he's talking about the devil and about his, what comes out of his loins, the prince, of course, the king, Satan himself, the prince that verifies and shows that I believe that's the devil incarnate in a human body. The prince of Tyrus, this Tyrus, I believe, is the city at that time which reigned over all the earth. And then when he gets through with that and has no more need of that, he, of course, made a covenant with the Jewish people, breaks that covenant, and puts it in Jerusalem, and these 10 common market comes from Europe, give the fire of the beast, and they burn it to the ground. The merchants' people are far off, weaving well and cast dust upon the head. Lament because this great city has been destroyed during that time of the great tribulation period. And then he sits on the throne over there in Jerusalem and self-proclaimed him to be the long way to Messiah, God Almighty. Ezekiel talks about that in his writings there, and I will talk about that. But if you look over chapter number 29, 10th year, 10th month, the 12th day of the month, you see going back concerning this prophecy. Now he's talking about the king of Egypt and the land of Egypt. Now they warred with, I told you before, that it's Nebuchadnezzar. He warred with Jeremiah, makes recording of that when he had war with Nebuchadnezzar. He killed one of the pharaohs up in Carchemish. That's way up north up in there when they went to war. That's where they used to come up. They didn't want to battle in their land, so they picked a battling spot. And that was up in the northern borders up above Israel up there, Carchemish, up in that area. He came up, Pharaoh Necho, I believe it may be Pharaoh Thothmes. I believe Pharaoh Necho came up and warred with Nebuchadnezzar's army. So he slew him. But he didn't come at that time down in Egypt and conquer Egypt. It hadn't been done as of yet. Jeremiah prophesied that it would come, and it did come. And of course, also Ezekiel talked about it, and God brought it to pass. And then he come down, and of course, he fought with them, the land of Egypt. He conquered them. He talked about 40 years, too, that they'd be in captivity. And evidently, they were, and that was fulfilled. At that time, he said they'd come up, and of course, they'd be not a great nation anymore, but a minor nation. They haven't been a great nation ever since that time. God prophesied about that in chapter number 29. You can look at that yourself. You want to see about when Nebuchadnezzar came in, and what happened there, we will talk about that. We can come back maybe over to that. Chapter 29, verse 17. Go a little bit further down over there if you want to. Concerning Egypt and these different ones, since he made war with them, it gives us some periods of time when it happened, when it transpired, and when it took place. You can read over that if you will. I want you to study. I believe it has to do along with this. But you'll see about his prophesying about this burden of Tyre, of Tyrus, and what's going to transpire and take place in this. I hope you'll study over that yourself. And look in there, and I said there's 70 years made mention in there. I don't have the understanding concerning exactly where that has already been fulfilled as of yet or not. I don't know. Probably it has. I don't know that. I'm getting a little bit understanding, but not a whole lot. And that's in the last few verses. You can read about that, study over that, and I want to talk about that God being a helper maybe at another time. I've got a little understanding, maybe not enough to where I want to get into it, because just being partially able to understand some little bit of it, not give us too much understanding. I don't have it to begin with. But I'd like you to look in that, if you will, chapter 23. We're going to go back to this, Lord willing, maybe next week. Chapter 24, that's plain about what that is. He talked about, of course, the day of the Lord and about destruction, annihilation, when all those are ungodly and abominable. You can see about that and how that he destroys, of course, the land. And then you can get a summation of that in the last few verses of chapter number 24. I hope that you read that. It talks about the Lord punishes them upon high, the king of the earth, upon the earth, and they shall gather his prisoners together in pit. He shut up the prison after many days and visits him. I believe that's when he binds them up in the last few days. Probably they'll be visited for judgment. Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun of shame, and the Lord shall reign in Mount Zion, Jerusalem, and for his ancient glory. So that's when he reigns on the throne of David over there in the millennial reign. You can read about that. In chapter 25, it's very wonderful. I've not read it in this detail, but look over it for yourself. That's also prophesying about some things, some glorious times that's going to happen and transpire and take place, 26, 27 as well. Read over that, study that if you will. But I want to go over, if you will, chapter number 26 in the book of Ezekiel. I want to go back over that, if you would, please turn over that with me, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 26. And this, it tells us what particular period of time that it was. And this, when he makes notation of this, that is Ezekiel, he was a young priest. You can read about his, about who he was, what time he came over, and who he came over, what period of time he came over. It was under, you can read, usually I said if you'll study and pay attention and look in the first chapter of these books of prophecy, you'll find out a lot of information. It'll help you when you study. It tells you about him and who he was in the first few verses. If you look in that, you'll see at chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river of Chebar, and that the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now you can see, he was over in the fifth day. He said, and it's come to pass the 30th year. I don't know, let's say he was maybe 30 years old at that time. I don't know, in the fourth month, fifth day of the month, and this was when he was over there. I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that was in the fifth day of the month, of the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. That's when he was taken over in King Jehoiachin's captivity. So when you read about that, he makes notation about in these chapters, about what day it was. That means that's how long he'd been over in captivity. But he came over in the reign of King Jehoiachin. King Jehoiachin, Jeconiah, is the self-same person. He was the son of Jehoiakim, and of course the brother took over after that. Of course, they set him up, people. He only lasted for just a very, very short time. He should yield himself, give himself, so he was carried over, spared, he didn't have to die. And then, of course, they made Zedekiah king, the last of Judean kings, which was the brother of Jehoiakim. The son of Jehoiakim was this man here. He talked about him. He carried him out. But anyhow, he was set up and he reigned for 11 years. So this was the last of the reign of the Judean kings in Jerusalem, in Judah itself. So you're looking here, when he makes notation of that, he's talking about what particular period of time it was and how long he'd been in captivity, so you can have an understanding about what it is when you read. It came to pass in chapter 26, 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, that's how long he'd been in captivity. Son of man, because that Cyrus had said against Jerusalem, she is broken, that was the gates of the people, she has turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now she is laid waste, making her boast about because of what happened unto Jerusalem. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spread of the nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. It shall come and shall become a spoil of the nation. And her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword. They shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the king of kings, from the north, the horses, chariots, and horsemen, companies, and much people. He shall slay with the sword the dogs in the field. He shall make a fort against thee, cast a mount against thee, and lift up a buckler against thee. And he shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with axes shall he break down thy towers. With engines of war, you've probably seen in some movies, that's what they did. They made great mechanical machines. They made them out of where they could cast gigantic stones and maybe things of fire, such as it may be, to go in the city, like you see in some of these movies. Well, those things transpired, and it also takes stones to batter the things down, and then built things can roll up to it and climb over the walls. They had different ways to make war. That is, nations of war. They'd learned, fortified themselves, and made all types of weapons of war. And it said, engines of war against the walls, and with axes they shall break down thy tower. By reason of the abundance of his horses, the dust shall cover thee, thy walls shall shake, and all the horsemen, and the wheels and the chariots, when he shall enter in the city's gates, as men enter in a city wherein is made a breach. And they'll come in once they broke it down, and they'll overtake it. With the hooves of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. They shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. They shall break down thy walls, destroy thy pleasant houses. They shall lay thy stones, thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the water. And what cause the noise of thy songs to cease, noise of thy heart shall be no more heard. I will make thee like the top of a rock, that there shall be a place to spread nets upon, thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken, and saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, God to Tyrus, shall not the isle shake at the sound of the wall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee. Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their throne, lay away their robes, and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling, they shall sit upon the ground, they shall tremble at every moment, and be astonished at thee. It shall take up a lamentation for thee, and say to thee, how thou destroy that was inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants which caused her terror to be in all that haunt it. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, but I'll make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great water shall cover thee. When I shall bring thee down with them that sent in the pit, the people of old time, and shall set thee in the lower parts of the earth, places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. Now I believe this is a twofold thing. I believe that first portion happened, and God did bring him down upon it, but then of course it's back into existence. We know that it is because it's still there. Even now, today, the city's still there. So I believe he's building up and going into the city of Tyrus, the picture of mystic Babylon. You see some of the same characteristics showed about this place over in the book of Revelation. The reason I believe that is because it's a continuation. You got to go in chapter 27, 28, and you want to no doubt with that when I get into that and show you what I'm talking about. And notice what he said in the closing verse of chapter 26, verse 20. He said, I shall set glory in the land of the living when he dealt with this particular city. I will make thee a terror. Thou shalt be no more, though thou be sought for, yet thou shalt never be found again, saith the Lord God. And he's talking about, but from that time forward, never again will there be. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people of many isles, of many nations. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty, making a boast of what that she is, this big city, this great city. Thou borders in the midst of the sea, thy builders have perfected thy beauty. All that trade and everything else has taken place and transpired to be in the city, city of trade, where I believe the controlling city, at this particular period of time, and everybody comes and deals through this particular city here. They have made all thy ships, boards of fir trees, of Senir. I'm not exactly sure where that was. I think I've forgotten about whether it was. I'm not sure that I found it, but it's in there. They have made all thy ships, shipboards of fir trees of Senir. They have taken cedars from Lebanon. We know what that is, to make masks for thee. And of course, the boards of fir trees. They also had fir out of the land of Lebanon up through there. So Senir could be up in that area. It could be because they have these fir trees come up from there as well. They made part of the house of God out of fir trees and out of the cedars of Lebanon. And they made that as well as gold, overlaid with gold and things such as they did, building the house of God to come up that area. Oh, on the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory. Now look at the oaks of Bashan. You know, Bashan is one of the places that they conquered on the eastern side of the Jordan River up above that, the land of Gilead and all the different places. That's where Bashan is. They had the oaks, evidently they were famous for the oaks, and they made the oars out of them. Of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the Isles of Chittim. Now here's something I want to put to you, and that's give you something to think about. Brought out of the Isles of Chittim. Now, that were the elephants up in that era back in ancient time. I know they brought them in from other countries as gifts and other things, but were there elephants? I know there were elephants in India, and it could have been elephants up in Italy. I don't know. Up in Greece at that particular period of time. But there's a little something for you to think about. He said, brought out of the Isles of Chittim. Ivory. Now, ivory comes off elephants. The elephant's touch. If it comes from any other place, I don't know about it. I know you get your ivory. I knew all that off of elephants. It's something for you to think about. The Isles of Chittim. He said, brought out the Isles of Chittim. So Chittim, I told you, was kindred to, of course, to Tarshish. You can see about that. Look over and see it somewhere up in that area to draw a little bit of a conclusion where Chittim is. So other than that, that's something for you to think about. Run a little research yourself. Fine linen and broad work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the Isles of Elishas. You see, that was also kindred of, is what we just talked about, of Japheth, some of his sons of Japhan. That was one of his sons as well. Was that which covered thee, the inhabitants of Zidon, Arvad, were thy mariners, thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. He said, they come out of thee. All these were, these people that you may mention have been brought these gifts in these different places. The ancients of Gebal, and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy coffers. They caulked up all the ships and, of course, made it fit that it might be sustained to sail on the sea. All the ships of the sea, thy mariners and mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and of blood and of foot were in thy army, the men of war, they hang the shield, the helmet in thee. They set forth thy comrades, the men of Arvad, with thine army, were upon thy walls round about. Gamadims were in thy towers, they hang their shield upon thy walls, and round about they have made thy beauty perfect. Now you can find that about through some of these words by tracing over in the book of Genesis, book of beginnings, as well as other places too, and you can find out somewhat about these different cities it just makes mention of. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, the silver, iron, tin, and lead they traded in thy fair. Javan, Tubal, Meshach, they were thy merchants, they traded the first of men. Now they brought slaves, vessel of brass in their market. This they traded slaves during that time, this particular period of time, as he's talking about, I believe, to be this mystic city. They of the house of Togomar traded in thy fairs of horses, horsemen, and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple, and embroidered work, fine linen, coiled of gate. Judah and the land of Israel were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of minas, paneg, and honey and oil and balm. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of the wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches in the wine of Helbon, white wool. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupying in thy fairs, bright iron, cassia, calamus, were in thy market. Dedan with thy merchants and precious gold, the chariots, Arabian, all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats, and there, these were thy merchants. The merchants of Sheba and Raamah were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fair with the chief of all spices, with all precious stones and gold. Aran, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher, Chilmad were thy merchants. For these were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue, clothes, and brought to work, and chests of riches, apparel, bound with cords, and made of cedar, among thy merchandise, ship and tartan, and sang of thee in thy market, and thou was replenished, and made very glorious in the midst of the sea. The roars they have brought thee in the great waters, the east wind have broken in the midst of the sea. And he talks about, go and read about that if you want to, on down, and I'll skip some of the rest of that. But he talks about even their suburbs, the son of the pilots. He builds up these things about these people made rich and had something to do with this city called Tyre. Then in verse 32, and in their wailing, they shall take up a lamentation with thee and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyre, like to destroy the midst of the sea? When thou wearest and went forth out of the sea, thou puttest many people, thou didst enrich the king of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the sea and the depth of the sea, thy merchandise, all that come to the midst of the sea shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be so afraid, there shall be trouble in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee, thou shalt be a terror, never shall thou be any more. That's when he brings it to naught, where it's never again any more. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God. Now look at this picture of this prince of Tyre. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the sea, yet thou art a man, not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom, without understanding, thou hast gotten the riches, and gotten the gold, and silver into thy treasuries. By thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strains upon thee. To every nation they shall draw their sword against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Wilt thou yet say before them that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of them that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. More of the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now the king of Tyrus, of course, the father of the prince of Tyrus, and this represents the devil. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sittest up the sun, but full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's who Satan was, son of the morning. He was a covering cherub. He was over all the angelic powers or forces of those that were angels, the ministers of God in heaven itself. He was over that, over beauty, over power, everything else. Because of all that he had and was made, it went to his head instead of his heart. He was puffed up, and of course he was swelled up, and he was cast out. You can see, let's see. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the oxen, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of the pipe was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. And I have set thee so. He said, I created you to be so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I was perfect in thy ways in the day thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. Then he was swelled up. He said, here's how it happened. By the most of thy merchandise, they have filled thee filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee and profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up. Here's the reason it was swelled up. Because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He said, your wisdom I gave you. Because of your brightness, you were puffed up and blowed up. And it swelled you up, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth the fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall there be any more. But it brings them down at all. Again, the word of the Lord came, unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Zidon, and prophesy against it, or Sidon, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. They shall know that I am the Lord when I have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood in her street, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. They shall know that I am the Lord. There shall be no more a pricking briar to the house of Israel, or any grievous thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. He's talking about when he deals with these people, they won't have any more problem. Israel won't, when he deals with them, puts them down. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and have sanctified them in the sight of the heathen, they shall dwell in their land. When they shall dwell in the land that I have given to my servant Jacob, they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment, but all those despised round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. And he's talking about when he deals with all these heathen nations, it's a summation of what he's saying is destroying all of them. And of course, this king of Tyrus, the prince of Tyrus, and the city of Tyrus, which I believe to be a picture of the mystic Babylon. You can read about that in the book of Revelation and make some comparisons yourself if you'd like to. I know that Nebuchadnezzar came down upon these cities and destroyed and devoured them, but they weren't completely annihilated so far as being done away with it. They've not been restored and revealed. They're still in existence today. You can look on biblical maps to find out. But I believe he's talking about a twofold thing. I know he talks about that because he makes mention of that, and that did take place and transpire. He talks about that and about what they had to say about Jerusalem. So God brought judgment upon them and turned his arm that he was using at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, to bring judgment down upon those lands, conquer those lands, subdue those lands. And you know, when he puffed up and rolled up and said himself, he done it himself. God turned him out like an animal, like a wild beast in the field. He come to himself and realized it was the God of heaven set up and took down, done as it would. And he realized that, and he gave his testimony about his salvation. I believe he got saved, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But I want you to study over that, look over there. Some things I wanted to say, but I didn't get to say, so we'll leave that alone. But I want to go back to, again, next week, God being my helper, and speak to you about Ezekiel in that particular chapter. I want you to read about the next three or four chapters in there, if you would, please. It has something to do with that, and then also about God's judgment coming down upon. All through the Bible, you'll find out that God prophesies about the restoration of the house of Israel, about letting them dwell peacefully, and the king coming, Messiah coming. Of course, they think he hadn't come as of yet, but he has. First time he come, he had to come and pay for sin, settle a sin debt. Second time he comes, he's going to set up an earthly kingdom here on this earth. When all through the earth, the waters come to see, and the people of Israel looking far to that, but they're blinded, he said, in part. Of course, there'll be a remnant saved according to election of grace. 144,000 do know the God of great exploits. During tribulation period, that's the whole nation of Israel. Tells that's the whole nation of Israel because it leads to the 12 tribes, the 12,000 each tribe, 144,000, and they'll go through tribulation period. When that's over, then of course all the redeemed, saved, gonna be on the earth, but the Jewish people being Israel itself, that's their land. God gave them that land. They're gonna have peace and harmony and tranquility, and even the animal kingdom is gonna be at peace. They'll eat straw and things of that nature again, and grass. No more people, no more animals eating people either. Eating such as cannibals eating flesh. It won't be that. That started after sin came and man was cast out and violence came upon all the earth when people started devouring and destroying one another. And it will be to God's perfect peace comes the time of the millennial reign when all the earth and waters cover the sea. All right, I'm going to quit on that. Anybody got a question, comment, anything in your heart you'd like to say, ask or say, share? If you do, feel free to think special.